I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Welcome back. We're the Junkies. Live on 106.7 The Fan and NBC Sports Washington. Presented by Crop Metcalf, the official heating and cooling company of the Junkies. Looking to be their next five-star HVAC technician or plumber? Visit cropmetcalf.com to join their team. I'm John Paul Flame, joined by Johnny Cake Sawville and Jason Bishop. 7 o'clock, so it is time to hit the skins.
Very good.
Hit them skins. Hit them.
We'll start with...
Any potential sponsors lined up for hitting the skins? Matt and Matt, anything?
No, but I think like a body lotion would be a good sponsor. Right?
Certainly would.
Hit the skins.
Yes.
Or like Dove.
Or perhaps like the lotion that I stole out of my suite at MGM National Harbor. I just stuffed it all in my bag.
Well, you didn't steal it.
It's shampoo, conditioner, lotion.
It's yours.
Why did you do that?
Because I'm cheap.
And like I think my daughter and my wife like the lotion. They like to put the lotion on the skin.
My son likes the shampoo.
I do that all shampoo. Time. I don't need shampoo, but
because
I take it anyway.
Yeah, but you're not stealing it. It's given to
not
you.
Not stealing.
Yours.
That's true. I also took the mask and bottle of hand sanitizer in the little mini travel bag that was in the suite too. I took all of it.
Nice.
And I'm going to take it the next time at GM National Harbor too.
That's what I do. So every day they have a couple of pressers via Zoom, and yesterday Ryan Kerrigan was up and he was talking about the offseason, his expectations for this year. Here's Ryan Kerrigan, who is one sack away from becoming the Redskins' all-time leader in sacks.
I'll just say this, and I was thinking about this as you were speaking. I will never, ever, ever again complain about week three, week four of the preseason just because we don't have it now, and I am sorry for ever complaining about watching 50 out of 53 guys who weren't going to make the team play in late August. It's absolutely terrible, and I am looking forward to a time where we can all get together and, you know, I can give you a high five and we don't have to be worried about
that
people yelling.
That sound like Ryan Kerrigan. That's Kerrigan?
Because that's not Ryan Kerrigan.
I didn't think so.
It can't be Ryan Kerrigan.
Hold on.
That's not Ryan Kerrigan.
Can we figure out who that is?
Yeah, give me one second.
Play it again.
Man, it sounded like a fan.
Sorry, I had the wrong Ryan Kerrigan.
Is that a fan or is that a coach, or who is that?
I think it's an interview from Chad Show.
Oh, okay.
I went into his audio, and then it was Ryan with Haskins, and it wasn't Kerrigan. Sorry.
Okay. Yeah, it's somebody talking about watching preseason games.
It sounds a little bit like Dan Helley, but I'm not. I don't know if that's him.
I don't think it was.
But I know it's not Ryan Kerrigan.
Ryan Wilson.
Ryan yeah. Wilson.
Oh, Ryan Wilson
yes.
from CBS.
Yes, that was one of Chad's guests.
He's been on this show many times,
I apologize.
Too. Yeah, it's all good. It's okay. It happens.
Anyway, Kerrigan talked about a couple of things yesterday, including the name change. He says he's cool with the name change, thinks that the name is actually kind of cool. He says he knows a lot of soccer teams that have different names that are FC, so he thinks it's kind of cool. He's okay with Washington football
Jason,
team.
Did I tell you that your friend Jen Burns, who works for the Washington football team, who I've never met, but I know you've had many interactions with her over the years. When I tweeted my distaste for the temporary name, she typed back to me in all caps, "It's temporary." I definitely ricked her.
Clearly ricked her because she works for the team.
She's a very good friend.
Yes.
Yeah. Very funny too.
The official Twitter account is still tweeting out, like, you know how we think that they let the Red Wolves thing slip the other day?
Yeah.
That we mentioned. Well, now they're like putting out other ones, and well, the one they tweeted out yesterday was it's up there with the Washington.
Hold on, let me guess. I think I saw it. Yeah. Is it the person that was stumping for? And let me just say, this is a terrible name and a terrible idea. If we're on the same wavelength, Washington Rexes.
Yes,
terrible with Rex. A capital T. All terrible.
Spelled how?
R E X E S.
Like T Rex.
Awful.
Because of the Smithsonian Natural History Museum.
Why? But just because there are a bunch of old bones in the museum, you're gonna name your football team after them?
Jakes, all of these names have been awful. All of them.
But I'll say
Rex, it's near the bottom. Yeah.
Red Wolves. Red Wolves is way better than Rexes. Why would you name your football team a dog name? Rex. That's like a dog. That's like a dog's name. That's
Valdez. Did we find the Kerrigan audio? If not, it's no big deal.
No, you're stuck on it. We have the Haskins thing.
Okay.
Hey, JP, go into Yahoo News and see if you find Ryan Kerrigan audio.
I just want to say what Kerrigan said then.
Okay.
Kerrigan said, even with Chase Young and Montez Sweat on the roster, he plans on being a playmaker. He says he plans on being out there a lot, making plays. It's how he's trained during the offseason. It's how he's approached camp right now, and that's what he's anticipating. He wants to stay in Washington, but a lot of people wonder where he fits into the equation because you know Chase is going to be on the field, and you'd expect their first-round draft choice, Montez Sweat, to be on the field. Those are your outside rushers. So Kerrigan, all of a sudden, is becoming more of a depth guy than the main playmaker.
There's nothing wrong with that. I mean, Ryan Kerrigan's getting up there.
He's a KG vet. Yeah, I mean, he's a KG vet.
Maybe at this point in his career, he's better off as a situational pass rusher instead of a guy that's out there every single down.
And of course,
I don't have a problem with that.
They've moved from the 3-4 to the 4-3. So Kerrigan, Chase Young, all these guys will have their hand in the dirt. They'll be going at the quarterback, trying to get sacks. Another guy who apparently has shifted from linebacker over to outside rusher is Ryan Anderson. So Ryan Anderson's no longer in the linebacker room. He's in kind of with the defensive linemen, a la Ryan Kerrigan,
you just
Chase
have to
Young,
trust
Montez Sweat.
Washington football team fans just have to trust that Jack Del Rio is busier scheming up these guys and figuring out how to plug them all in instead of enraging people on Twitter, which is something that apparently he's done like over the last few months.
Yes.
So work on getting those guys on the field as much as possible and making them as impactful as possible. He'll take care of that.
Before we get to the Haskins audio, should mention that yesterday Julie Donaldson, who is now the decision maker there when it comes to media, announced the play-by-play and color commentator for the team this year. It's going to be Bram Weinstein. He's going to be doing the play-by-play. And our friend D'Angelo Hall is going to be the lead analyst. I've worked with both. Both are consummate pros. I think we were all rooting for our guy Pete Medhurst. Mm-hmm. But it's Bram Weinstein, who's been a lifelong Redskins fan, now the voice of the Washington football team, with D'Angelo Hall, who's been excellent. I mean, D'Angelo Hall was an excellent interview during his playing days, and he moved over to the NFL Network, did some stuff with us. Mm-hmm. So we'll wish them luck. I had talked to Chris Cooley at Craig Lachlan's charity event several months ago, and Cooley's kind of he's a Renaissance man. You know, he's into art, he's into other things, and I think he was on the fence of whether he wanted to do that like for the rest of his life anyway. So I don't know if he was vying for the job, but they moved on from Chris Cooley, and it'll be D'Angelo Hall in the booth. And Julie's going to be a host, and she may be in the booth as well. Like, I think she's going to be doing probably the pregame and
sounds like she's going to be like leading the entire broadcast.
Right.
But it's Bram and D'Angelo doing the nuts and bolts of the calling the games.
All right. So yesterday we had Dwayne Haskins, the Redskins quarterback, go to the podium, and he talked about the Washington football team's camp thus far.
Yeah, camp's been going great. We've just been working out, conditioning with the strength coaches, and then practicing with our position coaches, getting some walkthrough reps in, and then have 2 to 3 virtual meetings for the rest of the day. It's been a tedious process being able to go through things kind of in a slow motion OTA facet, be able to get ready for the start of training camp with pads. So I'm excited to keep going and get ready for the season.
And training camp with pads, I believe, starts tomorrow. So far they haven't done that much. He did talk about what to expect from this offense. Here's Haskins on the offense.
Yeah, I think right now this is the biggest thing is the details of the plays, just knowing way guard pulls versus a certain front, and then how receivers' routes turn differently versus different coverages of different alerts or different plays. And I just getting in the same page with the offensive coordinator and what he wants in a concept when he calls it, and then the objective of what we're trying to get done. And I'm feeling like the more reps we get, the more time we get as a unit, as an offensive unit, we'll be ready to go.
The question is, will he have much help around him? And we
don't know. You won't know until week one.
Yeah. I mean, I guess you hope Gandy Golden blows up, Logan Thomas blows up, but
Logan right Thomas now, is going to blow up.
Well,
you have to keep cakes. Your expectations. You know, you keep them moderate. Like Logan Thomas.
Hey, Drabby, any movement on the press credential for practice for the Bish Bucks?
Not yet. No.
Okay.
I'll let you know.
Friday would be the only day I could really go. So I don't. I'm not that eager to go, but yeah. I'd be.
You don't
be
seem
willing.
That eager. You're like, maybe I can go Friday.
I mean, I'm not desperate to go, but I'm supposed to play golf tomorrow, so tomorrow would be out. But Friday I could hang out
you
there for an hour.
You could squeeze it in.
Yeah, maybe for an hour. But they're not going to give me one.
One thing that our pal Chris Russell, insider for the Washington football team, always said about the Jay Gruden era, he always called it Club J, and one of the minor changes which Ron Rivera made pretty soon after taking over the job is he removed the ping pong table from the locker room. Mm-hmm. And Tress Way, the punter, who is one of the dedicated ping pong players, along with Nick Sundberg, the long snapper, said, "I think I even need to do a handwritten letter or just a person-to-person conversation to say thank you to Ron Rivera. Maybe it had become such a distraction." He goes, "As a specialist, I punt and work out, play some ping pong after practice with the guys. When the table was removed, I was number one in the locker room." Oh, okay. He's happy because he remains the top seed.
He's
he goes,
"Aaron
is the number one ranked player."
Yeah, nobody can take him down now.
He's the Novak Djokovic of ping pong in the locker room.
I guess so. He's got
Do you think
skills.
Those things matter?
No, not really.
No, I doubt it.
I don't think it's a huge deal if players pass the time playing ping pong and or table tennis, whatever you want to call it. I don't think it's a huge deal. I don't think it points to lackadaisical country club atmosphere. But maybe I'm wrong. Maybe I'm completely wrong on that.
I mean, there's got to be other teams that have ping pong tables in their locker rooms.
Yeah, look, there's a million ways to skin a cat. There are your authoritarian head coaches who don't want to let you have any sort of distractions, and then there are kind of your rah-rah guys like Pete Carroll in Seattle,
I mean,
who seem to be uber successful.
Have you seen the mock-ups and or the new locker rooms for some of these pro players and or college players like at LSU or wherever where they have so many millions to spend and pamper the players? A ping pong table is not going to make a big difference. These guys all have like dedicated video units in their lockers, state of the art. I don't think having a ping pong table is a big deal. Though it is to some people.
By clearly. The way, what a lot of people haven't talked about, what we have not talked about, is Jack Del Rio as the defensive coordinator.
Mm-hmm.
And Del Rio, historically, as a head coach or as a defensive coordinator, has been really stingy. His defenses have been really stingy in points allowed and yards allowed. I mean, his defenses have been really, really good. I believe 4 out of the last 8 years, he's been in the top 10 in points allowed and yards allowed, both categories. So you know, we focus on the players, but the coordinator, the coach who's going to coach them up, I think a lot of people should pay attention.
Well, hey, it'd be great if they finally get into the top 10, because it seems like the last couple of years, as we go through the preseason and we talk about this team, we're always talking about the potential for a top 10 defense. Mm-hmm. Well, they've got great interior defensive linemen that they've drafted, plus Matt Ioannidis that they've drafted either in the first round or fairly high. They've got Chase Young and Montez Sweat first-rounders on the outside, plus Ryan Kerrigan. I mean, we know about the defensive line. They brought over Landon Collins last year. I mean, they've got some talent on the defense. We'll see if they can become an actual top 10 defense. If you want to chime in, 800-636-1067. Remember, coming up at 8 o'clock, we've got Bo Bishop. He hosts Bishop and Laurinaitis in Columbus, Ohio. We'll get his take on the Big Ten's decision to shut it down for the college football season and what Ohio State might do thereafter. He'll join us at 8 o'clock, plus it's a game show Wednesday, 8:45. Your chance to win a $25 gift card to Tropical Smoothie Cafe as we play Zippy Dollar Pyramid here on the Junkies.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We got Bo Bishop from Columbus, Ohio, hosts a show out there with James Laurinaitis, to talk some college football coming up at 8 o'clock, but wanted to get into it now. So we kind of anticipated this, and we're not to the point of college football being entirely canceled, but the Big Ten has made their decision, and soon thereafter the Pac-12 decided to shut it down as well. And wondering how that makes you feel. 800-636-1067. Jason, when you talk about this, you seem angry. Are you angry that they've shut it down?
I'm just disappointed.
I think a lot of people are disappointed because you want to see it. Even if it is the right thing, we don't know if it's the right thing or wrong thing. It could be proven to be the right thing.
Maybe angry is the proper word. I'm just angry, disappointed, bitter that the world has come to this and that, you know, we've had to make decisions like this just to cancel things. You know, it's just very unfortunate. But I don't know if I'm as angry as I am disappointed. I've kind of expected it.
Are you worried that in the Big Ten, which has already made the move to shut it down, and maybe the Pac-12, that they will follow what they're doing with football with college basketball? Because college basketball would start potentially, you know, about a month and a half after college football starts, right? Usually by mid-October, college basketball starts.
I don't know why you would be
the precedent.
I don't know why you'd be optimistic about it. How could you be optimistic about it at this point?
Well, here's the thing. I mean, if these schools, these conferences are canceling all fall sports. I know that basketball isn't really considered a fall sport, but it starts in the fall.
Yep.
You know, their practices start in the fall. So what does that mean?
Well, the Pac-12 already canceled all sports until January 1st.
Yes, I mean.
So that's your non-conference basketball.
Yeah, I mean, because the Pac-12, they obviously play a few games in December, November and December. So, it's affecting college basketball as well. I mean, I don't know. I don't know what they can do. Can they play in sort of a bubble? I don't know. I don't think they can. There's too many teams.
JP, I think people would be less frustrated and have less disdain if the decision was made and everyone was on the same page.
Right.
I think the frustration comes when everyone has all these differing opinions and doctors saying different things, and the Big Ten is thinking completely differently than the ACC. But I feel like if the entire college football was just canceled because of concerns, then everyone could kind of it would be an easier pill to swallow.
It's divided just like the entire country is divided along the lines of the virus. I mean, every day you see a video of somebody walking into a grocery store or a Walmart screaming at somebody else for wearing a mask. I mean, basically doing what you're told to do to try to mitigate the spread of the virus. Everybody's divided. Everybody's upset. Everybody's on edge.
Jason, wouldn't it be an easier pill to swallow if just every single conference said we can't do it this year because of medical concerns, and there wasn't this much division between conferences?
Yeah, maybe. It's just
weird. Yeah, obviously it's disappointing. But yeah. It would be easier if everyone was kind of united about their decision.
And you know what? They may still get there at the end of the day. They may.
They may. I don't know.
Understand how some conferences can decide, yeah, right now our doctors are saying we can manage this risk, we can play, and then other doctors are saying, nope, can't do it. Yeah, I mean, it's weird to me that you can be on opposite sides of that. And we've never been more divided in this country. What? Never.
Well, it's also because there's still a lot of unknown.
Of course.
Right. So there's some doctors who may take a more cautious approach while others aren't as cautious. And then to me, it's not just the doctors because they're dealing with the university presidents. So the same thing. There's some university presidents that are more likely to take a risk and others that may be more cautious. And I thought Randy Cross yesterday brought up a lot of good points that we hadn't really thought about on the show yesterday. What is the cost of moving forward with your football team when it comes to testing every day, testing every other day? What is the additional cost to your university where you're going to probably have to hire more doctors? What is the cost if you say, we probably expect 5 or 10 guys throughout the course of the season to come down with coronavirus? What is the cost to give them medical care? And then they're also thinking about, and these are unknowns, what are the long-term effects medically if these players do contract COVID? You know,
you're
hearing about these heart problems now.
Nobody knows.
Right, nobody knows. So,
but no one will know in the spring. No one will know next fall. I don't care when the vaccine comes out. I don't know how viable that is. No one's going to know any of that. And the question I have is, if we're in the same situation next year, which we could be, and I would bet that we are, what do you do then? Are you going to cancel it again? Or are you going to say, well, we canceled it before. We can't do that again for 2 years in a row. We got to go forward.
I think
why does the mentality change there?
Honestly, I think that they learn every day, and every week that passes, they are getting a little bit better with treatments for coronavirus, and whether it's therapeutics, ultimately a vaccine, I think they're making progress. And to me, it was a lot of wait and see for these commissioners. If you want to chime in, 800-636-1067, that's why, look, I don't love it because as a fan, I would love to see college football, and I definitely would love to see college basketball, and I'm worried that it'll be gone. I'm not angry. I'm more understanding. Because I think they're just in a tough spot. It's a really tough spot. And we don't even know, again, I keep pointing to the economics, we don't know how much they're losing in revenue. I understand everybody says, well, it's all about TV. It's all about TV money. Well, to me, when you have 80,000 fans, or in some of these stadiums, 100,000 fans going to the games, you're bringing in a lot of revenue.
Sure. That
for
hurts
game
the
days.
Lose. Yeah, that's
devastating. So when you're not having that, I mean, are you going to operate at a loss? And what does that mean to the university as a whole? If your football program, which is usually a moneymaker, bringing in profit, all of a sudden is losing money, how much does that affect the rest of the student body?
It affects the rest of the athletic department. Every school is affected. Some not as much as others, but every school absolutely is affected.
I just think it's a much bigger factor than they're letting on. And with the myocarditis thing, if it's such this big bad wolf all of a sudden, why are all the other sport leagues playing? And don't give me this because they're professionals. If we're talking about people's health and this is a scary thing that we need to be worried about, why are sport leagues all over the world playing and not just the Big Ten? The Big Ten has it all figured out?
Yeah.
I doubt that. There's just something else going on.
No, they're just more terrified. I don't know what it is. I mean, You're telling me that the doctors that are talking to the ACC or the SEC don't know what this is? They don't know what the risks are? They say it's okay, we can go forward. And then why are some of these Big Ten schools going to send all – I've brought this up a million times. You can't play football, but you can send every school, every student back to that campus.
Yeah, one of the doctors on I was listening to the radio today said that with myocarditis is the big thing about it is treatment early on. And how you treat it early on is by knowing that they have it, by testing them and knowing they have COVID. If you send them home and these athletes get it, they're much more likely to develop these heart problems than – they are if they're on campus and they're playing the game.
Yeah, and they're not getting the treatment.
I think what Drab pointed out and what I'm trying to get at, they may say one thing, but I think the costs is probably a huge factor that they just don't want to talk about. They don't want to go on mic and say, you know what, we're going to shut down the Big Ten season because we're not going to make a profit this year, and it's going to hurt us. But, you know, take, for example, your daughter, Jason. She goes to Virginia Tech. Virginia Tech's got a big football program. I don't know how much money they would bring in each game. But that loss of the money, if they chose to go that route, that might result in tuition being raised for all the students. You know what I mean? Like, there are big reverberations by not having the football season go forward.
Well, not only for the university. Think about all the ancillary businesses around the university, the hotels, the restaurants, the entertainment, all of that that depends on, you know, 60,000 people coming into Blacksburg six or seven times during the fall that aren't going to be there anymore.
Yeah, the small town.
Just the pinch that they're feeling.
The small town college economics really, you know, the small college town economics really gets crushed.
Towns depend on college football.
Yeah, just think about the hotels in general.
Yep.
And then, and this school right here, Yale, they bumped their tuition by 4%.
Right.
And they said no kids are coming on campus. You're not even allowed on campus for the entire year. You're going to be online. Oh, and by the way, we're going to boost that tuition by 4%.
Unbelievable. If you want to chime in, 800-636-1067, are you angry by decisions like this where the Big Ten shuts it down and the Pac-12 shuts it down? By the way, I saw Drab tweet this. You said something like the Pac-12 is the Big Ten's little brother. What is the relationship there? Do they just follow their lead every time?
No, they're just in cahoots with each other. But I mean, dating back 70 years to when they made like the Rose Bowl agreement. They're always in lockstep with each other. So when the Big Ten decided, hey, we're not going to play anymore, the Pac-12 said, oh, yeah, we're done too. I mean, I love the Pac-12, obviously. I watch all their games, but it's a terrible conference, and Larry Scott is a terrible commissioner.
Wow, look at Drab going hard on the Pac-12, something he loves and cherishes.
Well, I mean, I mean regionally, it's the teams that I'm interested in, but they're a joke of a conference. They haven't won in basketball or football in over a decade because they have poor leadership.
Yeah. Now, let me say this on the feeling side, and if you want to chime in, 800-636-1067. I am a little sad I'm not going to be able to watch the Terps. And I didn't expect many wins from the Terps, but it's year two for Mike Loxley.
Yeah.
They just got the green light that Talia Tags could actually play. Mm-hmm. I think he just got the waiver. And, you know, you've heard all about the recruiting the last couple of years, and usually that takes more than 2 years to see an impact on the field. But all these guys that are hyped up, Loxley's been, you know, locking up these great recruits. Kind of wanted to see the guys.
Right. You want to see the pay off on the field.
The Rakeem Jarretts of the world.
Yep.
That's who I really feel for, the kids. And you know, how many of these coaching staffs are going to be affected, especially at the smaller schools? Are they going to have to let guys go? I got a buddy who's the wide receiver coach down in East Carolina. If they don't play, I mean, are they going to have to make adjustments on the coaching staff? Is he going to be affected? He's got a young kid and they're expecting another. And you really feel bad for the kids because that's what they've been doing their entire life. They've been prepping for this, working out every day in the summer leading up to the fall season. And now you tell them you can't play. Who knows going forward? A lot of these guys might transfer, like you said. Maybe they are cutting scholarships. What's going to happen with the programs in general? It's just a big unknown, and it's very unfortunate.
It's going to take years, too, to recover completely from this. Let's just assume it's one season has dropped out, but all these teams have to recruit players, right? Nobody's playing their senior season.
Right, exactly. And then what if you were like kind of a fringe player who some schools were interested in, But you were going against, you know, another five kids that the school was looking at a certain position. And, you know, if you had a really good senior year, maybe you jump ahead, you leapfrog those right. guys. And now you can't.
Right. Let's go to the phones. 800-636-1067. What do you make of this news? How do you feel about college football not being completely shut down yet, but the Big Ten and Pac-12, they've made the move. They're shutting down fall sports or at least college football, and college basketball could be next. Let's go to Brendan in Richmond, listening to us on The Fan in Richmond. What's up, Brendan?
So two things, man. You know, these schools had months to prepare. You take Virginia Tech, for example. That's where my son goes. And he got his test 5 days before I took him there about a week ago. They literally could make a bubble for these players. The players could live in the same air, in the same little complex. They eat together. They work out together. They could do all their classes virtual. And they could be basically not allowed to go to the bars and the restaurants for 3 months. And basically, if you've seen the success the bubbles have had in the NBA and the NHL, it'd be no different. Just basically, they have to be in a bubble. But if they move every season back to the spring, I don't think that a 20-year-old athlete playing 10 games in the spring would mean that he couldn't come back and play in the fall. I mean, the XFL is in the spring, and none of those players are thinking, oh, man, now I can't go to NFL training camp because I can't get my body ready after a couple of months. And none of the NFL scouts are thinking, oh, we can't sign XFL guys because they just played a 10-game season in the spring. We're talking about the elite athletes.
Yeah, but if you care about them, if you care about them, if you care about them, you don't want them to play that amount of games. There's a reason why in the NFL, could they do it? Sure, that's why there's been talk about playing 18 games. But there's a reason why the NFLPA and the Players Association, they don't want really to play 18 games, even if it's more money, because there's the wear and tear on your body.
Yeah.
And so could they do it? Yes, they're 20-year-olds. They could play 10 games in the spring and play 10 games or even more than that in the fall. But that might have long-term medical effects on their bodies.
Yeah, you're asking even 20-year-olds, you're asking them for a lot to play many games.
It's a huge
ask. And to have a limited time off because your bodies aren't used to it.
Then you have a whole thing about players being paid because obviously they're trying to churn these players out for a profit for the school. I mean, it's just a huge can of worms that you're going
to
open.
It's easy for fans to say, oh, they can play those games. Well,
yeah, they probably
doctors and trainers and coaches would say no. It's not. Even players would say, I can't see myself doing that. You're asking a lot for those players to do that. Unless you cut the schedules down big time. You play 8 games in the spring and 8 games in the fall. All right, that's a little bit more doable. But you can't play full seasons. Can't do it.
Hey, Rex, the hot Washington weather is here to stay. You know this. Is your residential or commercial cooling system keeping up for air conditioning maintenance, repair, installation, and service agreements? Call the 5-star cooling experts at Crop Metcalf and make sure to ask about their special service and equipment financing options, including no payments for 6 months on qualifying service calls. Give them a call at 1-800-GO-CROP or visit cropmetcalf.com. Crop Metcalf, home of the 5-star technician and proud partner of the Washington Nationals.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Welcome back. Chucky's on 106.7 The Fan. We are live on NBC Sports Washington talking about the Big Ten, Pac-12 shutting it down, college football season canceled in both of those conferences. What do you think of the decision? Are you angry about it? Let's go to the phones. Chris is in Lorton. Chris, you're on with the Junkies. Good morning.
Junkies, good morning. Thank you for taking my call. Listen, I'm a sports guy. I love college sports. My favorite time of the year. I think what the Big Ten and the Pac-12 is doing, I support it 100%. It makes sense. You can't put these kids out there with the unknown risk later on. I mean, it just doesn't. For me, it's not worth the risk. It makes sense. It only makes sense to cancel.
I mean, like I said, I'm understanding. I'm disappointed. It's understanding that these commissioners are making decisions, risk assessments, cost assessments, and they're deciding not to move forward. It's not going to be, even if the SEC and ACC plays, it's not going to be a normal season.
No.
No, it's going to be reduced. No out-of-conference play. I mean, less
not
games.
Not even close to a normal season.
Those teams may lose money. You know, and they're used to making maybe millions of dollars.
Oh, I'm guessing all of them are going to lose money. Yeah. I mean, you're not going to have the gate. You're not going to have everything that goes along with bringing people onto your campus for all those games. Of course, they're going to hemorrhage money.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know if it makes sense to cancel. I don't know if that's the words I would use, because you're sending all the kids to school anyway. And then the football team can get special treatment because they can still be treated in a bubble. And it might not be a bubble like the NBA and NHL, but you can kind of monitor what they do. You can, if they go out to a party or a club or a bar or whatever, you can suspend them, you know, have a team meeting and say, look, if you're caught out there, you're suspended. You're suspended for a couple weeks. You're going to miss a couple games. All right, they all eat together. They all work out together. They can have the tests. You know, they're not testing all of the regular students. So why does it make sense to send the regular students to school? But it makes sense to cancel the football season. I don't know if it makes sense. I understand what JP's saying, that these schools are in tough spots, but the cost has a lot to do with it. The liability has a lot to do with it.
Absolutely. 800-636-1067 is the number if you want to chime in. Let's go to line six. Greg's in Columbia. Greg, you're on with the Junkies. What's going on?
How's it going, guys? So
hey, Greg.
I'm on the board of directors of a Pee Wee football team, and I've been involved for the last 3 or 4 years. And as far as the college teams are concerned, cost is a big factor. But I guess I get a little annoyed with the people who say you had months to plan for this, because it's just not that simple. You know, we don't have central leadership in this country. So each area, each sub area has its own rules, its own regulations that they're following, even up to the college level. It's just not as simple as putting everybody in a bubble in their own place is one thing, but then trying to coordinate all of that, it's really difficult. And what it came down to for us to cancel the season is the unknown risk factor. So let's say a kid didn't know he had asthma or had diabetes, and even though they signed a waiver and knew the risks, ended up getting sick and, God forbid, dying. I mean, is it worth that? Is it worth waiting one more year to get more information about a new virus? Because none of these experts really know about this virus. I mean,
correct.
So that's what it comes down to, that unknown risk and the worst case scenario. Is it worth it? I mean, cost-wise, we would have lost money because we have to have concessions, we have to have the gate fees, or we lose money. We still would have put on a season at a loss just to get the kids out there to do something. We even tried to do modified rules football, 7-on-7 with no contact, and it still got voted down. So
yeah, and what you said about localities changing things, I know this
from my own experience. So my son does I-9 sports. I help out. And this year, to actually do something with the kids, they didn't have a normal season with a bunch of teams. They essentially had clinics and mm-hmm. worked on skills. And the coaches would wear masks. And there was very little contact. But I have to tell you that after a couple of weeks, we started having more scrimmages because kids just like scrimmaging. So even though there weren't that many kids in the age group, there was enough to have, you know, a 5-on-5 game or 6-on-6. And that's what the kids like to do. Well, Montgomery County in the middle of the week, last week, issued a new edict, and we weren't allowed to have scrimmages because, you know, by their rules, that was just the case. So we had to modify what to do in practice once again. And the guy that runs I-9, this guy Larry, has a bunch of creative ideas, and they're able to pull something off, but it's not the same. And same thing, we don't know what the rules are state by state. They're different.
Much different, yeah.
So where, you know, the University of Maryland in the Big Ten may have one set of rules, Wisconsin may have a totally different set of rules.
Yeah. I mean, some states are playing club sports. They're allowing it. They're allowing soccer. They're allowing softball. Some states or cities aren't. It's just a difference in opinion. And some people are willing to risk it. Some people aren't.
Well, difference in opinion and difference in circumstances, because some states have already had a coronavirus like wave where there were a ton of hospitalizations and a ton of deaths.
Yeah, I mean, the stats go into it. Yeah, sure. I mean, there's data that you have to factor in. But it only takes one. I mean, it just takes one person to get it or die. Certain people are willing to risk that. And play the odds. The odds are if you get it, you're going to be fine. That's what all the science says.
For young kids, yes.
Yeah, well, that's what we're talking about.
Let's go out to Lynchburg. Bob, you're on with the Junkies. Good morning.
Hey, good morning, guys.
Hey, Bob.
So I understand, you know, you don't want to put these kids at risk for getting sick and potentially having those few that have underlying conditions get sick and possibly pass away. But you had the two conferences that announced a schedule. The players' rebuttal was a player tribune saying, hey, we'll play, but we want some sort of incentive and extra benefits because we're the ones that are putting our health on the lines. And then ultimately, those are the two big conferences that cancel.
Great point.
You have a conference like the MAC who can't afford, honestly, to play. If you've ever been to a MAC conference game, there's
about 8 people in the stands.
Maybe. Yeah, exactly, exactly.
Yeah.
And most of those are students who are not paying full gate price. They're getting it included in their student fees for, you know, a few hundred dollars a semester. So I think it looks really bad for the Big Ten and the Pac-12, where it's like, hey, we're going to do this. And then all of a sudden the players are like, well, okay, we want something. And they're like, oh, we're going to cancel. And I think the NCAA right now is loving this because the Power Five conferences have been pushing their weight around with the TV money and all these other things. And now the NCAA is like, here you go. You can have what you've been asking for. Good luck.
Yeah, I mean, the MAC conference in particular shut down, I think, for one reason and one reason only, is that's because they lost their Big Ten out-of-conference games. And that's a lot of money in their pocket.
Those big paydays. I mean, those directional schools rely on that income to fund not only the football team, but probably most of the rest of their athletic department as well.
Right, right. And he's right. The MAC conference games during the middle of the week, which is great to watch as a fan, but Tuesday and Wednesday night games in the MAC, that, I mean, you're just not seeing a lot of people there.
Right.
And most of the time, the weather's terrible and once they get into, you know, late October into November.
Freezing rain.
Yeah. I mean, the weather's bad. There's nobody there. They're making their money from those out-of-conference games from the big schools. But don't insult my intelligence and say, yeah, we're going to move to the spring. I mean, that's going to be even worse because you're probably not going to be playing those out-of-conference games, and no one's going to care about a Tuesday night game in March between Bowling Green and Ohio U. Nobody.
All right, just coming up next. Betters will care.
It's a small percentage.
Coming up next, we'll talk to Bo Bishop. He hosts the Bishop Laurinaitis Show on 97.1 The Fan in Columbus. We'll get his take on what Ohio State might do moving forward and the Big Ten as college football seems on the verge of completely shutting down as two of the power conferences shut down yesterday. We'll be right back.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.